So welcome to our Sunday Feast program, everybody. Big crowd. So we'll start by chanting Jai Radhamadava. Continue with our Nectar of Devotion study. Rid of this thing first. Perfect. Okay, thank you all for your patience. Sunday Feast Ki Jai. Jai. Oh, yeah, we're on here too. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari. Jai Hurad Humadava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Balla Gopa Hidibaro Rahuti. Gopi dana malaba iribaruna kutti. Yasuna nandana raja jananandana. Yasuna nandana Raja Janu Nandana. Jamuna Tirabana Jalti. Yamuna Tirabana Jalti. Jai Rad Humadhuva Kunya Bihakti. Jai Rad Humadhuva Kunya Bihakti. Gopi Janabalaba Iri Badadade. Gopi Janabalaba Iri Badadade. Yeah. Yasudanandana Prajajadaranana. Yasudanandana Prajajadaranjana. Munatira Banachavi. Yamunatira Manachati. Joyurada Manava Kunabihati. Jayurad Umaduva Kunabihati. Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Paravatakacharya, Om Siddhetta, Siddhashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindi Kijai, Namacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Kijai, Param Se Ko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Prasadi Gaur Bhaktavan Nikajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopna Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mathuradam Kijai Jagannathaswami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hariko. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilpopati Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvashesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Deja Tarane. So Omaganat, Vidanda Shah, Gananda Janash, Lakya Chakshuran, Miditam, Yena Tasmai, Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So before we read the Nectar of Devotion, we always chant this prayer, which is one of the stanzas of the Goswami Astika written by Srinivas Acharya. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokadham Hitakara No Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Patara Vinda Bhajana Nante Namatalika Vande Rupa Sanatano Raku Yago Shri Jiva Gopalako. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert and scrutinizingly studied all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So we're going to continue with our study of the Nectar of Devotion, and we're right here in the middle of the chapter, just finishing up this chapter about the eligibility of a candidate to accept devotional service. So we will read. However, the perfect spiritual concept of life is complete knowledge of one's constitutional position, in which one knows enough to dovetail himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. One must know that he is finite and the Lord is infinite. Thus, it is not possible to actually become one with the Lord, even if one aspires for this. It is simply not possible. Therefore, anyone who has any desire or aspiration for satisfying his senses by becoming more and more important, either in the material sense or in the spiritual sense, cannot actually relish the real sweet taste of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore compared possessing these bhukti, material, and mukti, liberation desires, with being influenced by the black art of a witch. In both cases, one is in trouble. Bhukti means material enjoyment, and mukti means to become freed from material anxiety and become one with the Lord. These desires are compared to being haunted by ghosts and witches. Because while these aspirations for material enjoyment or spiritual oneness with the Supreme remain, no one can relish the actual taste of devotional service. That's pretty self-explanatory. Of course, bhukti means to enjoy things grossly. Mukti means liberation, but without Krishna consciousness. A pure devotee never cares for liberation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed to Krishna, "My dear son of Nanda, I do not want any material happiness in the shape of many followers, nor immense opulence and wealth, nor any beautiful wife, nor do I want cessation from material existence. I may take birth many times, one after another, but what I pray for, or from you, is that my devotion unto you may always remain unflinching." Who knows that verse? Anyone know that verse? What? Well, no, in the Shikshashika, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer. Nah. What's the rest? Kavitam ja jagadisha kame mama janmani janmani shure bhavatad bhaktir hoituki tvaye. That actually this is a pure devotee situation. Of course, it's similar to anyabhilashita shunyam, which we were referring to. Nadanam, I don't want wealth. Nadanam, nasundarim. And actually, Sundarin Kavita can also be translated as I'm not interested in poetic, beautiful poetic verses either. Because so many times people who study Sanskrit or literature, they become interested in a lot of beautiful poetry. So it's not only taken as beautiful girls, and in the case of ladies, it's taken as not beautiful men, but handsome men with muscles. So we have to understand this applies in both directions, because not only men have material aspirations, but women also have material aspirations. So this is a pure devotee. And the key is, mama janmani janmanishvare bhava tad bhakti rahaituki tvaye, that all I want to do is take birth after birth as your eternal servant. Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, kita janmohoy yata tuya das. Everybody knows that? Kita janmohoy yata tuya das. Vahir mukha na yas. So he says that I will take birth even as a worm in the house of your devotee. I mean, who wants to be a worm? Not me. But in your house, rather than taking birth as Lord Brahma, as a non-devotee Lord Brahma. So this is pure devotional service. So this is how a devotee prays. I just want to go on serving you. And of course, bhukti mukti siddhikam sakale ashanta, Krishna bhakta nishkam atayiva shanta. That's from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That as long as we want bhukti, you know, gross sense gratification, want a nice chair, or a nice car, Or liberation, then Ashanta, we're not going to be peaceful. And without Shanta or Shanti, there's no happiness. So happiness, a prerequisite for happiness is being peaceful. And as long as you want any of these things, you're not going to be peaceful. Anyway, on the other hand, if one wants to serve Krishna, one will accept a situation that makes one Ashanta, because that's love. And that Ashanta, that, let's say, agitation of the mind, and that, of course, is manifest fully by the gopis of Vrindavan, who are always in anxiety, not only about whether they will meet Krishna or not, but also about what Krishna is doing. Is he all right? He's walking in the pasture without any shoes on. Is he hurting his feet? Is he getting enough to eat? That's Mother Yashoda, of course, is thinking like that. And the gopis are also thinking like that. So in other words, even pure devotees, they are not particularly shantas. Although it's described they are shantas. Shandakshadaiva, Ridyeshu, Vilokyanti. Because they're always thinking, I'm pleasing Krishna. And because they're always thinking of pleasing Krishna, their minds are always agitated. And that's ecstasy. Because who wants to be just peaceful? I mean, you all may want that. But that's kind of boring. Even in the material world, when people retire and they have nothing to do, they die shortly thereafter. It happens quite a bit. You know, someone retires, oh, I'm finished with working. Now I can just sit at home and watch to see who's going to win the next election. What a boring life that is, isn't it? Or go to the theater or whatever you're going to do for the rest of your life, because there's nothing to put your mind into. So naturally, we want to have our minds active. And a devotee, in this world at least, and in the spiritual world, is always an anxiety in how to please Krishna. And that anxiety is part of spiritual bliss. So in any case, so that's Shanta. But just to be Shanta without any engagement of the mind or any anxiety, I think would be pretty miserable. Just like the other day, someone was telling me, I was walking out of the temple, and someone said, Maharaj, it's time to retire. Of course, I was trying to understand, what is that person's ulterior motive? Maybe they want me out of the way. But so I said, why should I retire? And they said, you're getting old. It's time to retire. You know, the Vedic description of how when one reaches 50, because I'm well over 50 right now, I'm 21 over 50. So when one reaches 50, one's supposed to retire. But that retirement is meant for material affairs, to retire from material affairs, but spiritual affairs, that's the ecstasy. I mean, if I was to retire from serving Prabhupada, that would be like death. So I'd rather be in anxiety serving Prabhupada. I mean, just like today, we had several Zoom conferences. Actually, now that everything is online, things actually get more intense than they were before. People tell me sometimes, they say, now that you are not traveling, it must be a lot more peaceful for you. But little do they know, now the conferences start at 4:30 in the morning, because we have to be on time for India time. To India time, Australia time, New Zealand time, Fiji time. They start at 4:30 in the morning. Whoops, I want that to go off. And then they sometimes go to 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And sometimes, if we're really unfortunate, they go to midnight. So this is my retirement. Anyway, but I'm happy. We should be happy to actually be in anxiety over Krishna or Krishna's movement. Krishna's movement is non-different from Krishna. Krishna's temples are non-different from Krishna. Krishna's devotees or caring for Krishna's devotees is non-different from caring for Krishna. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. The attention of a pure devotee is so much attracted to glorification of the Lord's pastimes, name, qualities, forms, etc., that the devotee does not care for mukti. So in this case, mukti means, you know, just liberation from everything, but not bhakti or not Krishna's eternal service in the spiritual world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Bilvamangal Thakur has said, if I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily can I perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think liberation stands at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me. To pure devotees, therefore, liberation and spiritual emancipation are not very important things. And also there's another verse of the Bhagavatam. What is it? Narayana Parak Sarve Nakutashina Bibiti Swarkapavarga Narakeshu Apitulyarta Darshana. That for the topmost devotee of Narayan, this of course is a verse spoken by Lord Shiva. Narayana Parak Sarve, for the devotee of Narayan, devotee of Krishna, Nakutashina Bibiti Swarga, he doesn't care whether he's in heaven, Swarga, Apavarga, liberated, or Narakeshu, or even if he's in hell, because he's serving Krishna. And Prabhupada gave the example that of a wheat threshing machine. Some of you may have heard this example before. If you have a machine that's made to thresh wheat, all right, let's forget about that example, because let's talk about a more modern example, a computer. A computer in front of us. So if I take this computer to hell with me, which would be quite interesting, if I could go on the internet in hell, or if I take it to heaven, if I take it back to the spiritual world, it still does the same thing. It's not going to become a supercomputer just because I take it to hell. Anyways, more modern example than a wheat threshing machine that Prabhupada gave. So in the same way, a devotee, wherever he or she goes, is doing the same thing. Preaching Krishna consciousness, helping others, chanting the Lord's holy name, Satatam Kirtiyantamam Yatatascha Dravata Namasyantashtamam Bhaja Nitya Yukta Pasate. Nitya Yukta Pasate. Nitya means eternal, Yukta, connected with Krishna. Upasate. In this way, the devotee is worshiping wherever he or she is. So it really doesn't matter where we are. So let's continue with this. In this connection, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, verse 36, Kapiladev has advised his mother, Devahuti, as follows. My dear mother, my pure devotees are charmed by seeing my different forms, the beauty of my face, the structure of my body, so enchanting. My laughing, my pastimes, my glance appear to them to be so beautiful that their minds are always absorbed in thoughts of me, and their lives are dedicated fully unto me. Although such people do not desire any kind of liberation or any kind of material happiness, still I give them a place among my associates in the supreme abode. So it appears that Krishna here is being an egotist. He's saying, the beauty of my face. You imagine if someone said that my fans are attracted to the beauty of my face, the structure of my body. So enchanting, my laughing, my pastimes, my activities, and my glance. That would appear very egotistical in this world, isn't it? And we would call that a false ego. However, if you are Krishna, it's real ego. It's not Krishna's pride in himself or his glorification of his own beauty, his own attractiveness, is real. It's not false. Whereas if we try to, let's say, brag about our own beauty, attractiveness, intelligence, these aspects of what we consider to be our personality are not actually us. They're actually given to us by Krishna. Krishna's lending us these different aspects, especially in the material world. So basically, all bragging for us is false ego, and all bragging for Krishna is real ego. And just like Krishna, one time, and of course this is very similar to a story in Greek mythology, And so one time Krishna saw his reflection in a body of water, and he kept staring at it. He thought, how beautiful that person is. And he couldn't keep his eyes off of Krishna. And even Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he can appreciate his own beauty and his own service. And of course, in the Greek mythology, I don't know if any of you know Greek mythology, there was this person named Narcissus. Anyone's heard the story before? No? Oh my God. Anyway, so you actually find aspects of Greek mythology that have been taken from the Vedic literature. So this Narcissus, let me backtrack a little bit. If we say that someone has a Narcissus complex, that means they're really self-centered. You know, it's like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most attractive sannyasi of them all or something like that. So Narcissus, anyway, he's a character who definitely had that complex. So he stops by a body of water, looks at his reflection, becomes so entranced that he can't keep his eyes off of himself. And then he has a girlfriend. Does anyone know who his girlfriend's name is? No one knows the stories. Oh my God. Shows my material education being useless. Anyway, so his girlfriend's name was Echo. And she pined away. And all the remains of her today, according to this Greek mythology, is an echo. Anyway, interesting story. So Krishna, he's attracted to himself. And as I said before, he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just so he can appreciate his own beauty. He can appreciate his devotional service. He can understand the love that Srimati Radharani has for him from her perspective. And he can enjoy from her perspective too. So what Krishna is saying here is not false egotistical. This evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam gives assurance to the pure devotee of being elevated to association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami remarks in this connection that one who is actually attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna or his service, and whose heart by such attraction is always full with transcendental bliss, will never aspire after the liberation which is so valuable to the impersonalist. A similar passage is also there in the third canto, fourth chapter, verse 15 of the same book, where Uddhava addresses Lord Krishna and says, "My dear Lord, for persons who are engaged in your transcendental loving service, there is nothing worth obtaining from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation, although happiness from these different sources can be very easily had by them. In spite of such facilities, my dear Lord, I do not aspire to achieve any such results. My only prayer is that I may have unflinching faith and devotion unto your lotus feet." So, of course, you see Rupa Goswami is actually backing up each of his statements from many quotes with many quotes from the Vedic literatures. And as we mentioned, those of you who weren't listening, but in the beginning of our nectar devotion discussion, we stated that Rupa Goswami is like a lawyer. And when a lawyer makes a certain point, he has to back up his points by citing from different law books or different judgments that occurred in the past. He doesn't just go to the judge and say, "Judge, I think this person should not be convicted." He gives legal precedent. And so in the same way, Rupa Goswami is giving a spiritual precedent for each of the statements he's making. And that means quoting from the Bhagavatam, which according to Srila Rupa Goswami and according to Srila Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha, the Bhagavatam is the primary source of our understanding of the Absolute. Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha deals with something called epistemology. How do you know what you know? And he goes through different methods of knowing. He talks about pratyaksha, direct perception. He talks about inference, you know, anuman, and other sources, history, you know, purana. And ultimately, he comes to the conclusion that the Bhagavatam is our source, ultimate, absolute source of knowledge. So this is why We are reading many quotes from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which has been translated and commented on by Srila Prabhupada. A similar passage appears in the third canto, 25th chapter, verse 34, wherein Kapiladeva instructs his mother and says, "My dear mother, devotees whose hearts are always filled with the service of my lotus feet and who are prepared to do anything for my satisfaction, especially those fortunate devotees who assemble together to understand my qualities, pastimes, and form, and thus glorify me congregationally and derive transcendental pleasure therefrom, never desire to become one with me. And what to speak of becoming one with me if they are offered a post like mine or in my abode or opulence like mine or even personal association with me with similar bodily features? They refuse to accept because they are satisfied simply by being engaged in my devotional service." Do you know what? It's a question for all of you in the audience. What is Krishna referring to here? Different types of what? The last sentence here. Anyone know? It's a test. Different types of liberation. I'll give you a hint. The first one the devotees don't accept. This is a little, we're reviewing what we went over before in a previous class. The first one that type the devotees don't accept is called what? Does anyone know? Sayuja Mukti. But the other types the devotees will accept, but they don't aspire for. The other type, one other type is called Sarupya Mukti. Does anyone know what that means? Take his form as the Lord. Similar form to that of the Lord. Sarshti. Means having the opulences of the Lord. Samipya. Living on the same, living close to the Lord, you know, the association of the Lord. And then finally, Salokya. That's easy to understand. What does Salokya mean? Having the same planet, being on the same planet as the Lord. So these are the five types of liberation. And the devotee does not accept Sayuja, which means liberation by merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but the devotee will accept the other ones, but the devotee doesn't aspire for them or ask for them. A devotee asks for what? Devotional service wherever Krishna wants to send him. This is purity. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 9th chapter, verse 10, King Dhruva says, "My dear Lord, the transcendental pleasure derived by meditation upon your lotus feet, which is enjoyed by the pure devotees, cannot be approached by the transcendental pleasure derived by the impersonalist through self-realization. So how can the fruit of workers, who at most can aspire to promotion to the higher heavenly planets, understand you, and how can they be described as enjoying a happiness similar to devotees' happiness?" Okay, so we will go on to the next chapter, which is entitled Devotional Service Surpasses All Liberation. Okay. So here again, we're talking about liberation again. Now, liberation, we mentioned before, five types. Everybody remember? The five types of liberation. How much a devotee is seriously attached to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood from the statement of Maharaj Prithu Adi Raj, which means the original king, because he's the Shaktivesha avatar of Krishna, which is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 20th chapter, verse 24. He prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead thus, "My dear Lord, if after taking liberation I have no chance of hearing the glories of your lordship, glories chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet, and if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. I shall simply always pray unto your lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can constantly chant and hear of your transcendental glories." The impersonalist desire to merge into the existence of the Supreme. But without keeping their individuality, they have no chance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there's no chance of their chanting and hearing of his transcendental activities. In other words, unless one is already beyond liberation, one cannot relish the transcendental glories of the Lord, nor can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. Now, previously in the Nectar of Devotion, there were some instances cited of personalities who were absorbed in Brahman, and they gave up their absorption in Brahman to be absorbed in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'm going to cite one or two of those instances. But before that, I'm going to cite a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is known as the Atmarama verse, anyway, I remember all the words in it. Granta rukrame kuranti gahai tuki bhakti atambhuta gunahari. And that verse states that those who are self-satisfied, Atmarama means you're taking pleasure in the self. Atmaramascha munio nigranta pi rukrame kurvanti ahai tuki bhakti atambhuta gunahari. Yeah. So those who are self-satisfied, in other words, those who are already situated in Brahman, that's one understanding of it, they're attracted to Krishna's pastimes. So that proves that Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's service is actually transcendental or higher than absorption in Brahman. So some instances of that, I think yesterday we were talking about that, was the four Kumaras were absorbed in Brahman. And when the four Kumaras came across Lord Narayan in the spiritual realm, and they smelled the lotus flowers and the tulsi leaves offered to Lord Narayan's lotus feet, what did they do? They became devotees. And other instances, actually one instance is Shukadeva Goswami, which we didn't cite the other day. Shukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi. Now, there's a difference between Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. A Mayavadi is one who actually says that the Lord's body and personality are all illusion. That's a Mayavadi. A Brahmavadi is basically, I guess we can say it's almost like the equivalent of a agnostic. An agnostic is one who says, I don't know if there's God. There may be God, maybe not God. But we don't know. That's agnostic. Atheist says there's no God. So a Mayavadi is one who says basically there's no God, or everything is God, or we can merge into God, or God is in Maya, something like that. So a Brahmavadi is one who says, I don't know any better, so let me be absorbed in Brahman. So the story is Shukadeva Goswami was within the womb of his mother, and Prabhupada tells a story in a certain way, other people tell a story in a different way, that he was in the womb of his mother for 16 years. Whew. That was a long pregnancy, 16 years. And he didn't want to come out. And why didn't he want to come out? Because as soon as he would come out, then there would be Maya. And what do I mean by Maya? Because as soon as the kid comes out, the kid becomes the center of all attention, as they say, the cynosure of all eyes. So he was thinking, you know, let me stay here. It's miserable in here. I'm better absorbed in Brahman here, because once I come out, you know, anyway, people will put me on their lap, smell my head. You know how you do with kids, pat them and say, how, pinch the cheek. Just like when I was young, my mother would pinch my cheek. I hated it. So, he thought, let me stay in my mother's womb. And then what happened is that after he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I mentioned before, he was absorbed in Brahman. So after he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, he thought, now I got to come out and preach. And actually, Krishna also spoke to him while he was in his mother's womb, and then he came out. And not only did he preach, but he didn't want to fall into Maya by being a regular old kid. He just ran away from home. In other words, right after birth, can you imagine that? Most kids don't walk right after birth. They're not like cows or horses. A cow can walk or a horse could walk right after birth. So when he ran away from home and his father was following him, the Bhagavatam describes that his father was crying out, "Oh, my son! Oh, my son!" And the Bhagavatam says that only the trees echoed his plaintive cry. And Shukadev Goswami wanted to get away from home. I'm not saying all kids should do this. He wanted to get away from home so much that he used his mystic power and created a clone of himself, so he could send the clone home with daddy, Srila Vyasadeva. That story is there in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, so there's an instance of someone who was absorbed in Brahman and so determined to remain absorbed in Brahman that they didn't even want to come out of their mother's womb, but when they heard about Krishna, immediately he came out. Anyway. A similar statement is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 44. Shukadeva Goswami addresses Pariksit Maharaj there and says, "The great soul, King Bharata, was so much attracted to the lotus, attached to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, that he very easily gave up his lordship over the earthly planet and his affection for his children, society, friends, royal opulence, and beautiful wife. He was so very lucky that the goddess of fortune was pleased to offer him all kinds of material concessions, but he never accepted any of these material opulences." Shukadeva Goswami praises this behavior of King Bharata very highly. He says, "Any person whose heart is attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudana, does not care even for liberation, which is aspired to by many great sages, what to speak of material opulences." In the Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 11th chapter, verse 25, there is a similar statement by Vritrasura, who addresses the Lord as follows: "My dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet called Dhruvaloka, the pole star, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe, but I do not aspire to this. Nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire to spiritual emancipation. All I wish for, my Lord, is your association and transcendental service eternally." This statement is confirmed by Lord Shiva in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 17th chapter, verse 28. Wherein Lord Shiva addresses Sati thus: "My dear Sati, persons who are devoted to Narayan Krishna are not afraid of anything. If they are elevated to the higher planetary systems, or they get liberation from material contamination, or if they are pushed down into the hellish condition of life, or in fact, in any situation, whatever, they are not afraid of anything, simply because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Narayan. For them, any position in the material world is as good as another." That's the verse I quoted previously. Remember? Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashtina Viviti Swarka Bhavarga Natakeshu Apitulyartha Darshana. The topmost devotee of Krishna or Narayan sees all these different situations the same, whether it's heaven, whether it's hell, whether it's liberation, because they're serving Krishna in all these different situations. Exactly. That's what I did quote. There's a similar statement by Indra, the king of heaven, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 18th chapter, verse 74. There, Indra addresses Mother Diti in this manner: "My dear mother, persons who have given up all kinds of desire and are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord know what is actually their self-interest. Such persons are actually serving their self-interest and are considered first-class experts in the matter of advancing to the perfectional stage of life." In the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, 6th chapter, verse 25, Maharaj Prahlad says, "My dear friends born into atheistic families, if you can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, then there is nothing more rare in this world." In other words, if the Supreme Lord Krishna is pleased with you, then any desire you may have within the core of your heart can be fulfilled without any doubt. As such, what is the use of elevating yourself by the results of fruitive activities which are automatically achieved in all events by the modes of material nature? And what is the use for you of a spiritual emancipation or liberation from material bondage? If you are always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord and always relishing the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no necessity for any of these. By this statement of Prahlad Maharaj, it is clearly understood that one who takes pleasure in chanting and hearing the transcendental glories of the Lord has already surpassed all kinds of material benedictions, including the results of pious fruit of activity, sacrifice, and even liberation from material bondage. Similarly, in the seventh canto, eighth chapter, verse 42, when the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Nrsimha, Indra, the king of heaven, says, O Supreme One, these demons talk of our share of participation in the performance of ritualistic sacrifices, but simply by your appearance as Lord Nrsimhadev, you have saved us from terrible fears. Actually, our shares in the sacrificial performances are due to you only because you are the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices. You are the supersoul of every living entity, and therefore, you are the actual owner of everything. Long were our hearts always filled with fear of this demon, Hiranyakashipu, but you are so kind toward us that by killing him, you have removed that fear from within our hearts and given us the chance to place your lordship within our hearts again. For persons who engage in the transcendental loving service of Lord, your lordship, all the opulences which were taken away from us by the demons are counted as nothing. Devotees do not care even for liberation, what to speak of these material opulences. Actually, we are not enjoyers of the fruits of sacrifices. Our only duty is to be always engaged in your service, for you are the enjoyer of everything. The purport of this statement by Indra is the beginning from Brahma, down to the insignificant ant. No living entities are meant for enjoying the material opulences. They are simply meant for offering everything to the supreme proprietor, the personality of Godhead. By doing so, they automatically enjoy the benefit. The example can be cited again of the different parts of the body collecting foodstuffs and cooking them so that ultimately a meal may be offered to the stomach. After it is gone to the stomach, all the parts of the body equally enjoy the benefit of the meal. So similarly, everyone's duty is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, and then automatically, everyone will be satisfied. And maybe read another paragraph, and then we'll take questions. A similar verse is found in the eighth canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 20. Gajendra there says, my dear Lord, I have no experience of the transcendental bliss derived from your devotional service, so therefore I have asked from you some favor. But I know that persons who are pure devotees and have by serving the lotus feet of great souls become freed from all material desires are always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss and as such are always satisfied simply by glorifying your auspicious characteristics. For them there is nothing else to aspire to or pray for. Here's another paragraph. In the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, verse 67, the Lord of Vaikuntha replies to Devrasa Muni thus, my pure devotees are always satisfied being engaged in devotional service, and therefore they do not aspire even after the five liberated stages, which are one, to be one with me, two, to achieve residence on my planet. These are the, remember the five we talked about them? To be one with me, that's called Sayuja Mukti. To achieve residence on my planet. Does anyone remember what the name was? Salokya. To have my opulences. Does anyone remember? Sharshti. To possess bodily features similar to mine. Sarupya. And to gain personal association with me. That's a little harder. Samipya. So we're going to test you all on that later on. This is actually important. Five types of liberation, and which one will not be accepted by any devotee? You know? What? Okay, good. And what's the Sanskrit name for that? Sayuja Mukti. So when they are not interested, so they won't accept that, but they're not even interested in the other ones, which is really interesting. They'll accept them if Krishna wants them. They're not even interested in the other ones. Imagine that if I told you, you go back to Godhead, are you interested? You can live on Krishna's planet, are you interested? You can be with Krishna, are you interested? And you'd all reply, yeah, I'm interested. But the pure devotees are not even interested. So then the question arises, why did Prabhupada want us to think about going back to Godhead? If we shouldn't be interested, if we were thinking, well, I want to go back to Godhead, let's go back to Godhead. Why did Prabhupada emphasize that? Does anyone answer that one? Yeah, did you? Yeah, because we were not on that highest stage when we come to Krishna consciousness. And what does Krishna say in the Gita? Is another test. Nice having a live audience. What are the four types of people that do come to Krishna? Anybody know? Aditya, you know everything. Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mount. One type is looking for Lakshmi. Money. Another type is? Any idea? Distress. Yeah. Another type is? Inquisitive. And the last type is what? Anybody know? Looking for knowledge. Looking for knowledge. Of course, Krishna says those who come looking for knowledge, he considers that to be a little higher, because those who come looking for knowledge, they'll stick to it more than someone who's just inquisitive. You're inquisitive, you find out and say, okay, I know, goodbye. Or looking for wealth, you get your money, okay, goodbye. Freedom from distress, okay, goodbye. Like you see sometimes people, maybe not in America, of course, now with the economy the way it is, people will come to the movement because they want something to eat. But in certain countries where people want something to eat, they come to the movement, you know, just like they're in poverty. So that's in distress. So it's understood, Prabhupada understood that our motivation when we first come to Krishna consciousness is not pure. So if Prabhupada were to say, join the Krishna conscious movement and be ready to go to hell, not so attractive to us. Right, so Prabhupada, Krishna knows that, you know, because anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is not yet pure. Otherwise, you'd be Krishna conscious. You wouldn't have to come to the Krishna consciousness movement. So therefore, we have to present certain what we call whiffims. Does anyone know what a whiffim is? As I described this the other day. What's a whiffim? What's in it for me? Every professional, let's say, presenter knows when you're going to start a seminar, you got to start it with a whiffim. What's in it for you? So, therefore, yes, that attracts us, and it's true. If you want that, you can go back to the spiritual world. You will go back to the spiritual. You know, we're not saying you're not going to go back to the spiritual world. It's not a lie. It's not a carrot in front of a donkey, so to speak. But it's not how the pure devotee feels. The pure devotee loves Krishna so much that he or she just wants to do what will please Krishna. Like the gopis, when they were told, along with other devotees, that the dust from their feet could cure Krishna's headache. And they were also told that the dust from their feet, if they gave it to Krishna, would send them to hell. At least they thought like that. They chose to give the dust from their feet to Krishna. because their whole concern was Krishna's happiness. And as Radharani says in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if my unhappiness is Krishna's happiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. Appears to be a contradiction. But that's actually how a pure devotee feels. So he's not interested. He just wants to see Krishna pleased. And you see that in Prabhupada's actions. When Prabhupada was preaching, he was just fully focused on pleasing his spiritual master. He wasn't thinking. Of course, you have the instance where Prabhupada was basically almost getting ready to leave the planet. And he chose to go to the UK. And he had his intention. His intention was actually to continue to America, to go to Gita Nagari after that. Now, and people were telling Prabhupada, not only then, but even they were telling Prabhupada before he left Vrindavan initially, that you're too old, Swamiji. You shouldn't leave Vrindavan. You're supposed to die in Vrindavan, because when you die or leave your body in Vrindavan, you go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said, give me the benediction, basically, of dying on the battlefield, like Arjuna. So in other words, he was more interested in pleasing Krishna than even, he had no concern, actually no concern over himself. And a devotee understands, what is this? Ananyas chintayanto mam yejanak paribhasate tesham nityabhayuktamam yogikshem vahamyam. That if he's completely dedicated to Krishna, Krishna will carry what he lacks and protect what he has. So anyway, so I think we went over time. So any questions from, we have an audience here. So this time we won't let you online ask questions. Actually got quite a few people online, over 30 people. So Aditya? Krishna.
If there's an opportunity of service and we see that, well, this may be too much anxiety for me to focus on myself. Like, is there
that? Yeah. No, if it comes to the point that you have to neglect your sadhana or you feel yourself falling down into the Republican Party. No, anyways. You find yourself falling down, your consciousness is just going to hell, then the first principle is to save yourself. That's true. I mean, obviously, that's called over-endeavor. Achahara prayasascha pajalpam niyamagraha. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, the causes of the fall down are, you know, eating too much, accepting too much, collecting too much, or endeavoring too much, prayasas. Or following the rules and regulations but not having one's heart in them, or not following the rules and regulations, or having bad association. So obviously, yeah, first principle, you got to save yourself. That's very important. But if your consciousness is just to get rid of anxieties, then and the anxieties are not dragging you away from Krishna, then one should accept the anxieties. I'm just like, before you came, I mean, maybe you were listening. We were talking about all the Zoom conferences we had, and you were on one of them today. You know, this is one of many, of just one subject matter. You know, the Zoom conference we were on today, which Narayan Prabhu was on, was dealing with the legacy of Bhakti Chumaraj. And it's anxiety, but at the same time, anxiety and a lot of hard work, at least for me sitting on all these conferences, but I'm deriving great transcendental pleasure because I'm actually not seeing it. It depends on how you see it. I'm not seeing it as work. I'm seeing it as service to Vaishnavas and seeing it as service to Bhakti Chumaraj and also his disciples who are Vaishnavas. So if you look at it the right way, even anxiety, if it has a purpose, then becomes a source of transcendental happiness. Yeah. Like I said, you have to judge by the results. If you find that your consciousness is slipping because you're doing that, and ultimately you're not going to be able to continue because your consciousness is being impeded by that particular anxiety, then the first priority is your own Krishna consciousness. Because that's the point. I mean, what did we say? Krishna Shakti Vanana He Tare Pravartana. Kali Kalera Nama Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Krishna Shakti Vanana He Tare Pravartana. That the Yuga Dharma, that means the process of religion in this age, is Krishna Nama Sankirtan, helping others. But in order to do that, then Krishna Shakti. If you don't have Krishna Shakti, you can't do it. And unless you have a good sadhana and good connection with Krishna, you won't have that Shakti or potency to do it. So I think it's a judgment call in that respect. Anyway, yeah, because I've been thinking a lot recently about this anxiety thing. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so it's actually important that the older devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement reach out to their younger, you know, relatives or god cousins or god nephews, actually in this particular case. And I'm actually impressed by how appreciative everybody was on the conference and how dedicated they are to serving Srila Prabhupada, and how well, like I mentioned, how well trained that they are. And, you know, several things I learned, because we're talking primarily about this one conference we're a member of, helping Bhakti Chumar's disciples deal with this particular situation in regard to several different projects. So I'm also seeing the necessity in my own life of just like really writing things down, so there's nothing left to question later on. Because oftentimes, as we were hearing actually this morning in class, in the Bhagavatam classes that Drishtaprabhu was giving, that oftentimes we think, you know, everybody else will disappear from this planet, but not me. Hani hani bhutani gachanti yamalayam. The most wonderful thing is that we see everybody else leaving their bodies and thinking, not me. I will not leave my body. Wonderful, not in the sense that it's great. Wonderful in the sense that it's shocking that people don't understand that. So it really brings home to all of us the concept that at any time, we could leave this world, so we better make sure that all of our T's are crossed and I's are dotted before we, all of us, anybody at any age. Okay, so do you have any announcements? No announcements for our congregation? You got a lot of people here. We got 31 here and some people on Facebook. Yeah, why don't you want the microphone? This is the Sunday feast, and well, it's not a feast, but it's the Sunday discourse. And you're all invited. Actually, should I invite everybody to come on Sunday? If you want, I mean, we could take a few more people on Sunday to come to the temple. I mean, there'll be a little prasadam, right, to give to people who come, or pack? Yeah, pack prasadam. You know, people come. I mean, obviously, we can have like 20 people in the temple room, I think. And so if any of you want to come, hopefully we don't get everybody. It would be nice, anyway.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class on Nectar of Devotion. Want to mention that this is we are midway through Purushottam Mass, and it's considered a very, very auspicious month. And one item that is actually glorified to offer the service during Purushottam Mass is to give charity. You know, so this is one of the four items I said, like very, very powerful to give charity. So this is an opportunity for all of us to give something to the service of Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. And as we have mentioned, like since March, we have not had like regular programs. So certainly it has affected our regular donations. So please consider giving a donation, especially now during the Purushottam Mass. We are continuing with our beautiful service of Sri Sri Radha Golokananda, dressing them so opulently, and making offerings throughout the day, 5 offerings throughout the day. So the service to Sri Sri Radha Golokananda Srila Prabhupada is continuing very nicely. And you can actually be a part of the seva by sponsoring in this most auspicious month of Purushottam. So please do consider. And you could sponsor $108 towards the Rajbhog, the Aarti, or $251. Whatever amount you are inspired to do, please do consider. And I think those are the announcements. And Maharaj is continuing Nectar of Devotion. He has evening, every evening, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's on the same Zoom channel, the channel right now. And it's 7 days a week. So please do log in. And then Maharaj gives Bhagavatam class Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 6:30 a.m. Again, on the same Zoom channel and mayapur.tv. And if anyone would like to give donations, please, our PayPal ID is newgoloka108@gmail.com. So, thank you so much, Maharaj. Thank you.
All for joining us. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki.